Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth Children's Corner Show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Children's Corner Show. Today, our focus is going to be on the teen, and it can be quite a challenging time for teen and parent alike. Today, my very special guest is Ms. Celeste Gonsalves, and she is author of Teen Wise. Teen Wise is a book that introduces the concept of using self-serving strategies effectively in the daily lives of preteens and teenagers for the betterment of their future. Each chapter is devoted to its own grade level, beginning with the 6th and ending with the 12th grade. Its focus is to help preteens and teenagers develop cognitive reasoning skills by providing real-life dilemmas and scenarios that they may encounter in their everyday lives. Its purpose is to provide solutions for problems before problems develop or occur. Each age-appropriate example contains challenging decision-making situations. For more information, including fundraising and nonprofit discount program, visit teenwisebook.com. And I do have a direct link to Ms. Celeste's website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Ms. Celeste to the show. Good day. Thanks for joining me today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on, Robert.
Oh, it is my pleasure. And I know, and I have to say, for those of you listening, we will be giving away a free copy of Ms. Celeste's book and workbook. If you want to call in and put your name in the hat, you can call in at 619-789-4359. Or also, if you're listening in the chat room and would like to be considered for that, just send me an instant message there, and we'll go ahead and take care of that. Before we begin, Ms. Celeste, I have to say that when I looked through your book and workbook with all of the topics that were listed, I was overwhelmed. I mean, there's a lot of stuff for parents and teens to have to wade through, isn't there?
Yes, there is a lot of challenging topics. And there's also a lot of topics that I didn't have, you know, space for as well. So
Wow. Well, you know, I'd like to, you know, first of all talk, you know, one of the things that you start with in your book is you have it broken down into what you call wise segments. And, you know, I'd like to kind of maybe go through each of them. And if you wouldn't mind, maybe just giving us a little bit of insight as to, you know, why that particular segment is there, you know, because I think those are all various areas that, you know, I think parents and the teens are also, you know, struggling with sometimes. And first of all, you put addiction in there. That's a major issue, isn't it, for that preteen and teenage time period?
Yes, definitely. It could become a major issue and a life-changing choice. If they decide to, you know, experiment with illegal street drugs or even just smoking cigarettes or trying alcohol, that could really, you know, change their life path.
I know. I'm sorry. I was going to say I know of a friend who's got teenage twins, and one of them is really struggling with addiction right now, and it's just really hard. You know, I mean, it really takes a toll not only on the teen, but also everyone that the teen's life touches.
And a lot of times, you know, the parents and the teenagers don't realize that he or she could be predisposed to an addictive gene. So even just trying it once, they could become addicted just from curiosity. Or just having that in their family tree. So it's very, very, I give, you know, different different ways to curb your curiosity and your enthusiasm, you know, instead of trying to, you know, trying to experience what it would feel like to be drunk or high. How about what it would be, how would it feel to be like the president of your class or, you know, a top athlete at your school or within your community or known for your volunteer efforts? You know, trying to say, okay, it's okay to be curious, but try to channel that into something a little bit more positive that won't have adverse effects for you in the future.
Yeah. So the idea to kind of, because obviously, there's that curiosity factor, you know, that plays a part of it. But then there's the also resulting high or adrenaline kind of, you know, rush. So is it really kind of to try and maybe get that real positive feeling through a different avenue other than the substance?
Well, actually, the high percentage of teenagers who are experiencing alcohol and drug-related induced highs and, you know, feeling drunk and being intoxicated, they all have something very much in common, and that is they are either running away from something or trying to numb themselves from something. So it's a solution to them. Like, once they experience it and they feel like, oh, wow, this is great, I have no problems and I don't feel the pain that I felt, you know, maybe they're not getting their basic needs met at home, or maybe they're abused, or maybe they're neglected, or they have some type of childhood trauma early in their life. And when they become teenagers, they want to fit in to certain groups. And some of those groups may not be, you know, may be negative influences on them. But once they go ahead and try something and then they see the outcome and they kind of like, wow, I would rather live in this world because I don't need to be responsible. I can just feel this, you know, euphoric feeling all the time.
Yeah.
And then they don't deal with the issue. And then what happens then is if the acting out and the behavior is not recognized, or if the family is not equipped with resources to recognize and to seek help, then that could then become an addictive, you know, addictive component to their personality. And then they have a lifelong, you know, journey of trying to recover from that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, like I said, I know that's a particularly challenging aspect right during that time frame. Now, also one of the WISE segments is anger management. Is that something that is kind of also formative during these years, the ability to handle and channel anger?
Yes, it is, especially from my own experience teaching teen-wise classes at a very rough high school here in Hawaii with, you know, high poverty rate, high drug rate, high pregnancy rate. They're very angry, and a lot of times they're just angry because they go without or they're treated badly in the home. And they have all this anger inside of them, and they do not know how to suppress it or to release it in a healthy manner, you know. So what happens is it comes out. They have triggers, and they're not even recognizing that they're being triggered because they're just living and walking their regular life, you know. They're just living their everyday lives and not realizing because they don't have the skills to recognize what's going on in their lives. And that's where you see, like, one person, you know, in a classroom, a classmate just doing something very simple, and somebody else just blowing up. It's because their anger levels are so high, they're so used up, that any little thing is going to trigger them. So I provide, and I've seen this, and that's why I decided to incorporate it into the book. And I, you know, taught them, you know, different techniques on how to reduce the anger levels. And one of them is the first thing, you know, you can't acknowledge what you don't know. And that's just a proven fact in any given situation or in any topic or anything that you're doing in life. You cannot, you know, until you know what's going on, how can you fix it? So the first thing is, you know, to identify the source. So recognize your patterns. Are you upset when you're in school? Is it when you're at home? Is it a certain person or a certain group? Is it a teacher? Is it your mother? You know, what is it that you can see when you react in anger? And so with that, then you can kind of control it and understand it. And then, okay, so if I'm really angry most of the time at school, then there's issues within that realm that are triggering me. So what can I do to avoid that while I am working on reducing my anger level so that I'm not so quick to be triggered and react? And another one is, I actually did this at that school, is I created, I taught them how to create and participate in a regular exercise regimen. Because when you exercise for yourself, not within a team or a basketball team or, you know, a school team, but exercise separately from that, you can focus on your own goals and what, you know, to become physically fit. But what it does is it releases the negative energy in your body. So when you reduce that level, you are also reducing your anger levels, which then you could be put in the same situation but may not be so quick to react because your levels are lower. And and then, of course, there's journaling, you know, writing down what you feel, what's going on. You can reflect later, you know, on what's going on and why you're so angry. And then you can, you know, read it over and see, oh, I see. This is what's going on, and this is my pattern, and this is what I need to not only recognize but try to make different choices for that. And the last choice there in Chapter 1 under anger management-wise would be to talk it out with a grown-up. That is very important. Another teenager does not have life experience or the skills to give you advice or to hear you with empathy and sincerity than a grown-up would. Because a grown-up can rewind themselves to your age, to your current age, and then realize, oh, yes, I can understand that, and I'm going to be open and honest with you, and you can trust me to express yourself to me. So those would be the four things that... And then in the workbook, it's more specific, and actually, you know, it takes the steps down to another level.
Yeah.
How to administer it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what I really liked about the workbook. The book is very good, and we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, its structure and the options and consequence and that kind of thing. But the one thing that I liked about the workbook is that, you know, it provides an opportunity for the teen to be able to personalize, you know, each of these topics, you know, and really kind of examine, you know, their life and what's going on. And also, I think the act, you know, you talked about journaling, you know, as kind of a part to lower, you know, or to cope, one of the coping mechanisms for anger. I mean, that actual process of writing in the workbook, I'm sure, is also very therapeutic in getting out, you know, what it is that they think and the different types of challenges that they're incurring.
Yes. And journaling also offers the reflection factor where you can really go back maybe 3 or 4 months and see your personal growth. Wow, that's really what I thought back then, and it's been 3 or 4 months. You know, 3 or 4 months is actually a long time in a teenager's life. So,
yeah,
you know,
sure
I mean, we think, wow, 3 or 4 months, what change can, you know, be, you know, how can you experience change in 3 or 4 months? But in a teenager's life, that's like a whole semester of school, right? So a lot can happen in that one semester. So, yeah, then you can just reflect on it. It's funny that you say that about the workbook, and I appreciate your comments and your feedback on it. And I find it very interesting because a lot of people have come up to me and said, oh, they really love the workbook. And I just say, well, you can't do the workbook without the book. And so I said, thank you, but you still need to read the book to do the workbook.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think, you know, and then I'm sure what they're probably referring to is just that personalized aspect of it. You know, I mean,
right.
You know, because
you have the opportunity to express yourself exactly.
Yeah, you know, because I mean, each teen is unique, and the book is good in that it gives certain situations, but those particular situations, as stated, might not be exactly kind of what the student is going through. You know, they may have something very unique. So, again, I just think that it's wonderful to be able to have that personalized aspect, and like you say, it's also a good way for them to kind of reflect and go back and check on that on their progress. excuse me. Now, one of the other why segments that you had was friendship, and before we go into that, I just want to say that it's like in each grade level there's a particular facet to friendship that the teen may encounter, and I mean, they're actually, I mean, to me, I found that there were things that I just wouldn't even thought of. Like, for example, you had in one of the grades, it's dealing with a friend who's a runaway, or dealing with a friend who's jealous, or friends who drop you, even friends who are gay. I mean, it's just like you cover quite a gamut, and those are things that. I mean, I guess as an adult, and I'm not around teens, so, I just, these are things that aren't kind of in my face, and I don't deal with on a daily basis. But, I mean, those are things that, I mean, when you sit back and think, I mean, those are all very critical aspects to dealing with socialization skills, correct?
Yes, just learning life skills and just try to determine, what is a healthy friendship. And that right there is baffling to teenagers. Like, what does that mean, a healthy friend? They're my friend. Like, okay, but do they support you? Do they, is it reciprocated? Is it you doing all for them? Are they challenging you with negative risk-taking behaviors that you don't want to engage in and they're trying to force you into something? That's not a healthy friendship pattern.
Yeah. Now, you've taught a lot of these classes with teens. When you talk to them about friends, and very much like what you just said to me, do you find that, I mean, these are things that they've really never considered? Are the teens kind of either, do they have, really clear-cut in their mind, clear-cut vision of what a friend is? Or does just, going through the process of talking about support, negative, consequence, all of that, does that prompt in them, from what you've seen, maybe a re-examination of their friendships?
A lot of times it depends, of course, on the individual, but what I have noticed and through observation is that when it comes to the friendship, one thing plays as a common denominator throughout the board, and that is this simple word, and it is loyalty. And depending what school you go to, because loyalty will change. In a private school, it's very different than from the school that I taught at, which is, like I said, the high poverty, high violence, high drug, high pregnancy rate. The loyalty factor at that particular school is very high, because they connect with their friends, and that's where they feel whole and complete, because they're not getting their basic needs, or they have voids in their life based on their experiences from home, their home life. I mean, these kids are kids that live in housing projects, and they don't get dinner every night. I mean, they're really struggling in their everyday lives with their families. So loyalty. So what happens is they teeter-totter, between loyalty to the friend and the friendship, and then what is actually right for me. So they've been my friend for 5 years. They've been there for me, but they just started smoking weed. I don't want to smoke weed, but how do I not be their friend and not associate with them, because I don't want to be guilty by association either. So that's what they really struggle with. And then another part of that would be, well, that's the only kind of friends I can get, because that's all I'm worth. the really good people that don't do drugs and don't do all these other things and cut class and all these negative, you know, risk-taking behaviors, they don't think that I'm good enough to be within their group. So they stay where they're accepted. And it's not necessarily the best choice for them, but it's all they know. So that's what really is tough.
It's, wow, you know, okay.
Yeah, you can be empowered within yourself and, you know, start your own group of friends that you really want to be with and understand your value. But that's tough. It's a real challenge.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I never thought about that. But, boy, that's, you know, I would have, I mean, it makes sense, you know, that in the, you know, the environment where there were the very challenging environment, you know, that the friends and loyalty would be extra important, like you say, because that's just, they're just not getting it elsewhere. So, now dating.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Contrast there, if you don't mind.
Uh-huh. Okay,
so
sure,
in a private, in a private school setting, the loyalty will have a different definition because those kids are basically their needs are met and then some. So it's not so important to them because they're not looking for a place. They don't have. Their needs are all being met and everything, so they don't need to cling on to a group. So they can easily just be like, oh, well, you don't want to be my friend? Okay. You know, I mean, there is a type of loyalty there, but it's not as strong and it's not as they're not as challenged because the kids in the other group are more needy, I guess I should say.
Yeah. Well, so then for those in like the private school setting, then would you say that in general that the friendship is can be easily formed and broken? I mean, you know, that it's more of a casual kind of relationship.
Yeah, they tend to change out quicker because there's no, you know, it's not a loss to them really because they can just. Their needs are being met and they're okay, and so if you don't want to be my friend no more, that's fine. They just go to the next group. Whereas in the other category, they're more wanting to be accepted and belong somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there's some. I'm talking about the public school. The private school students that come from, you know, social economics that are at a high level. Their parents are professional and, you know, because there's kids that go to private schools that are on full scholarship that they still may struggle with the other categories. So I just want to make that clear. It's not all black and white.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, with those who, let's say, are coming from the lower socioeconomic, you know, maybe the scholarship level, do you, and or maybe in a private school environment, do you think that they, in experience, are they, is loyalty strong like it would be if they were in the, you know, the public school environment? In other words, you know, it's like, you know, the other ones maybe have their other needs being met. Those who are on scholarship still may have somewhat of a struggle. So I'm wondering if it's kind of like a, you know, if there's a correlation, you know, between security.
Yes, definitely. And so let's say there's a private school student who is on full scholarship and, you know, their family is basic middle class, you know, just you know, making ends meet in that, you know, in their economic situation. That student, when forming their friendship base at that private school with other students who have different experiences and different, you know, different socioeconomic platform, if that friendship was to end, that student would be devastated because they're like trying to fit in so badly into a new world that they're not accustomed to. And then if they get shut out, then it really hurts deep for them. Because it's like they don't, it's like because they do have the voids and they do have a different experience Whereas okay. the other students, they just bounce it off.
Yeah.
Now,
okay, well,
now I'm talking really in general, basically
right,
saying that they're coming
right.
all from, you know, good, healthy families. Now, you can have a student that goes to private school that the family is, you know, pretty well off financially and all the needs are met, but maybe there's other factors going on in the household. You know, maybe
yeah.
one of the parents is an alcoholic, or maybe that student is being abused. So then that's different, yeah? Because then there would
yeah.
be void in and pain, and then they would take loyalty and friendship at a different level.
Yeah,
so it
yeah,
kind
that
of
makes
all
sense.
Depends on the mix.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and see, that's just it. There's so many contributing factors, and, you know, you along with that, you have all of the different variables, you know, as far as socioeconomic, and then you add in the socialization. I mean, there's just so many things that can contribute to the challenges, you know, in providing guidance that it's like, wow, you know. So, you know, I just... you know, to me, it's, I guess, if you were to say the, you know, one of the things I noticed, first of all, is that, you know, the subtitle of your Teen Wise books is Acquire the Power of Self-Definition. Is that really the key to being able to successfully guide a preteen and teen through the challenges that they face?
That is the overall goal of TeenWise, is to instill this concept of teaching them how to acquire the power of self-definition. If a preteen or teenager has that empowered within him or herself, they then can make the choices that are going to best benefit themselves and their futures by, one, understanding who they are now and who they want to become. When you know how to self-define yourself, there's no one that can cross that barrier. If you know who you are and you know strictly, I don't want to do any drugs. This is my life path. This is what I want. And so if you really know that from the core of your being, no one is going to be able to interrupt that process for you.
Okay. Well, you
unless
know, and
it's done... Unless it's done by trickery, because I have a little story for you, because that's what I vowed in seventh grade, never to do drugs. And all my friends knew it. And they did some really, like, crazy stuff, stuff that I didn't even know about until they were already taking the drug and things. And they tricked me. We used to do a camping thing right outside of my friend's apartment building. There was a little grassy area, and we used to pitch a tent. And, you know, the parents are upstairs, so about four or five of us would go down, and we would just, you know, camp out over there. To us, that's camping. You know, you're seventh or eighth grade. It's something to do on a Friday night or Saturday night, and you just hang out. Well, I don't know what I was thinking, but they all knew that I didn't want to do anything that they did. So they had me, kept telling me, oh, can you light my cigarette? And I didn't smoke cigarettes either. And they were smoking. They're doing all this stuff. And so I said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll light your cigarette. And then it kept, you know, burning out. So I kept lighting the cigarette. And he said, you know, I don't know why the cigarette keeps, you know, lighting out. And they were like, well, we don't know. Can you keep trying, you know? And they all knew what was going on. They took the tobacco out of the cigarette, and they put Pacololo in it. And so I was actually lighting a joint and didn't know, and I got stoned.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was really, really, really upset with them.
Yeah.
And it's in Chapter 4, under the 8th grade, example number 9. It's listed under Friendship Challenge Weed Smoking Prank. And I was really upset until today. I said, you know, I vowed never to do drugs, and you guys took that choice away from me by tricking me. I have to take some responsibility because I chose to light the cigarette for you, which I don't smoke, so why did I even do that? But you guys knew what pact I made with myself. And so now I can never say that I've never been exposed to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Well, you know, but kids will do. I mean, you know, kids will do that. So it's really
exactly.
You know, it's real important. It's real important, I think, then, you know, for parents or guardians, you know, to recognize that you know, even if you have your teen, you know, you're working perfectly well with the teen, that sometimes certain circumstances will happen, like being fooled, you know, that that you kind of have to just have an understanding that those kinds of things do happen.
Yeah, but when you're that young, you don't understand.
Yeah, wow.
You know.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
Hopefully.
Now, yeah.
Hopefully they can learn the skills and recognize, you know.
Really,
now.
Yeah. The cigarette doesn't light, don't just stop.
don't light the cigarette if you don't smoke. It's illegal to be
exactly.
smoking anyway. You guys are underage.
There you go. Right. Now, one of the other wise segments that you indicate is dating. And then also there's kind of separate from that is romantic relationships. Now, boy, you know, to me, I think for a parent, you know, that is, you know, that's kind of like a real crucial area. I mean, I know personally of parents who have a wide range of beliefs, you know, like when dating should occur, what certain conditions it should happen under, and that kind of thing. When you're talking with teens, how does that fit into making wise choices?
Well, the first thing that I teach the young women is, and this is really, really clear and cut, is that you have a right to say what happens to your body, and you're not obligated to a man or a young man if they, you know, buy you dinner at McDonald's. You're not obligated. The purpose
mm-hmm.
of dating is to spend time with somebody, see what your common interests are, have fun, you know, what hobbies, what interests do you like? Do you like to go to movies? Do you like to go to the beach? You know, that's what the purpose of dating is really all about. So how about we reel it back and we teach the old school way of learning how to date? Not this, oh, we're just going to hook up, miss. That's it. I don't need to take her anywhere. You know, I'm like, excuse
mm-hmm.
me? So you're telling me with that one sentence that you do not have respect for women, that you just want to say and do whatever it needs to take to get what you want. So I started saying this in these the guest speaking events that I go to, and it's this. Guys use love to get sex, and girls use sex to get love. So a guy is going to tell a girl, I love you, I want you to get the sex. And the girl is going to be, oh, he loves me. That means it's okay for me to give him what he wants. So that's where that whole dynamic happens. It's like broken people trying to fill each other's voids, and the outcome is never good. The next step
yeah.
in dating after you've been dating somebody a while, and this is very important, and, you know, when this lesson was being taught in that class, I mean, I could hear a pin drop. I told the student,
sure.
Seriously, it was like, they were just like, they couldn't believe it. I said, listen, it's very important. When you're dating someone for a while, don't assume they're your boyfriend or your girlfriend, okay? There needs to be a conversation. You need to openly discuss and negotiate the terms of your relationship so you know where each one stands. If you've been dating somebody for a while and you didn't have a conversation and you see him or her out with someone else, there's really, yeah, it's going to hurt you, hurt your feelings, but you really have no right to question it if you're not in a committed relationship. So they just did not know that and understand that. They just thought, well, if you go out more than three times, he's yours. No, he's not yours. And you do not have the rights and responsibility and the benefits that come with being within a committed relationship. And that's why I incorporated romantic relationship-wise. Have that talk. What does this mean? Are we exclusive? What the terms of our relationship are. I'm going to support you. You're going to respect me. you know, and we're going to see where this leads us, you know, and even have the, well, if the woman says, you know, I don't want to engage in any kind of sexual behavior until I'm much older, or my belief system and the way that I'm raised is that I'm to wait till I'm married. If you have a problem with that, then maybe this is not something that, you know, you want to engage in with me. You know, just be open and honest with what your beliefs are and what you're willing to do and what you're definitely not going to do. And they don't do that. They don't communicate. and then all this chaos happens and they don't understand why. Because you guys, you just assume, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that carries over into adulthood, you know, with, you know, relationships as well. So, boy.
It creates a pattern for them, and then that's what they know, and that's what they're taught, and then it just carries on, and then and that's why they're never in healthy relationships.
I know. Now, one of the other topics that you cover is gratitude. You know, and I mean, I love that you put it in there. You know, but it's one thing that I think is just so under-recognized. You know what I mean? I mean, and with teens, do you find that they're because, you know, quite often, and it could just be me, but I mean, it just seems sometimes there is a sense of entitlement with many teens, you know, that, you know, they should have, do, or whatever, just because of the fact of, you know, that's me. Is gratitude why is it that you put that in there? Even though I'm very glad you did.
Okay, well, you're welcome. the reason why I did is because teenagers, yes, the sense of entitlement kind of attitude, and also a lot of times they don't really understand. They don't seem to understand. You can take being thankful for someone at a different level and really have a special meaning and provide information and a feedback to the person who did something or went out of their way for you, instead of just saying, you know, thank you, which is great, right, to be polite, please and thank you. We all have learned that, right? But when you put it down in writing in a card or a piece of paper and you say, Mrs. Jones, thank you very much for staying after school for 1 week to help me study for this exam. I appreciate the time that you give me. And you sign it and you provide it to them. That has a different meaning. And that's really what I wanted to teach here, was to really put forth, like, anytime my daughter, I was a single mother from the time my child was 3 months old. She's 22 years old now, graduated from college, and she lives in New York now, and she's on her way in her career, which is great. But I taught her from a very young age, anytime anybody, you get anything from anybody, a Christmas present, a birthday present, or anything, you write a thank you card to that person. And not just thank you for my gift. Detail it. What did it mean to you? What did they give you? You sign it. You date it. I call it expressions from the heart. And I have a little, tiny little, you know, container that I have all mine in. And then the person can reflect later. Also, oh, wow, I did this, and that was great. This meant something. The only way you're really going to truly understand how the person felt is to go ahead and let them know, this is really what you did. This is what you did to change my life, you know. And that's why inside the workbook it said steps. You know, you don't need fancy stationery. You don't need a fancy stamps or anything like that. It's not the material that you use. It's the words that you put on there, and it's how personalized you make it to be. And, I think... So funny, because then I started getting all these thank you letters in the class after I had a session. They're writing in their journals. Thank you, Miss Celeste. This is what I'm telling you. I said, that's good practice for you. Thank you very much. It's great.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, you know, gosh, we're already down to 5 minutes here, Miss Celeste.
Wow.
We've kind of really zipped through this. So this is, I'm so glad that we went through each of those segments, you know, because, you know, each of them, like I say, throughout the different grades, you pose different scenarios for children or for the teens to kind of examine. And again, the workbook really does bring it home in the sense of making it very personalized, giving them a place to write, also they can follow up. Now, one of the things I did want to, before we finished, I wanted to indicate is in your book, you know, when you presented the scenarios, I really loved the way that you structured it, where you pose the situation and then you present options and then consequences and benefits. Because I think, I mean, that whole process is what I believe you're trying to get at with stimulating the critical thinking, correct?
Yes, exactly. So an example, an age-appropriate example based on that chapter or grade level, three different answer choices. Each answer choice is concluded with a probable consequence or benefit. So it helps them to think, well, I'm just going to make this choice. Well, this may be the result. Is that really what you want? You know, so they have some type of experience before they're in a situation like that. And so they have a little bit of knowledge, like, well, wait a minute. I remember this or something very similar to it. So if I do that, that may, no, that's not what I want. So then they have time to really evaluate to determine what would be their best choice for them.
Yeah, I love that because it's, I think, you know, it's that process that, you know, the teens that can then, you know, apply whenever they come across a challenging situation. I mean, they can just apply that process, and I think that will help them make healthier decisions. So that's great.
Through my experience, I've noticed that a lot of people who want to deal with teens, they all have the same type of approach, and that is this. Don't do drugs. Don't do alcohol. Don't have sex. Go to school, don't cut class. And the kid is just like, okay. No, it doesn't happen like that. So my approach is just to guide them, okay, well, if you're in a situation like this and you make that choice, that may be the result. It's your life. I'm living my life. What your choices don't affect me at all. They affect your life and your future. Is that what you want? So it kind of puts the idea in their minds that they have to come up with an answer for themselves. You know, it's not just lecturing, talking down on them, talking to them.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of creating that sense of self responsibility, like you say, self definition,
and
Well, excuse me. Well, Celeste, this has been Miss Celeste has been great. Now, people can contact you right through your website, teenwisebook.com. Correct?
Teenwisebook.com. Yes.
Okay. And, excuse me. And then. On there again, I did notice that you have special, specials for fundraising and nonprofit discount, which is great because I think many schools out there or many organizations that work with preteens and teens really would appreciate, you know, your generosity in creating that discount, and that's a wonderful thing. And then you also do classes, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do workshops that are hands-on here where I live. Workshops that are hands-on, and we actually do interactive problem-solving right on the spot as well. So parents and teens can come to the workshop, then also have a question, and we just brainstorm it right there and come to a conclusion.
Boy, that's great. Boy, talk about a great resource. That's wonderful. Well, Ms. Les, thank you for your time today. This has really been great. I'm going to be sure to add your book and workbook to my recommended reading page on my website so that people get it. And I'll also do a couple media blasts on social media to get the word out there because, again, I really think that it's a great handbook for parents and for teens, you know, to be able to go through and, you know, kind of navigate all of the challenges that are presented.
Yes, and I just want to add one more point there. Educators are starting to pick it up as curriculum because it's a complete set, and that's why there's a nonprofit discount program.
Well, that's great. Well, I have several people in the educator network, and also a couple in the library system. So I'll be sure to let them all know about this.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Robert. It's been
You're
a very,
very,
very great interview as well. So I appreciate your questions and how in-depth you got.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, and you have a great day now.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
You're bye. Okay, everyone, again, today my very special guest has been Miss Celeste Gonsalves, and we have been talking about her book, Teen Wise, and to acquire the power of self-definition. So, again, you can find out more about Miss Celeste by visiting her website, which is teenwisebook.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth's Children's Corner show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadio Me and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.byteradio.me, that's BITERADIO.ME. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.